This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, good morning, folks, and welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Kevin Bowersock. What are you doing over there?
Good morning. I'm looking up what we're talking about today. What are we normally doing?
Vehicle recalls, TSBs, technical service bulletins, and what you need to know about these when they relate to your vehicle. There, I told you what we're talking about.
Right.
All right, folks, appreciate you joining us. Maybe you're just hanging on after the garden talk there. You know, you can turn us up loud while you're planting your new tomatoes or whatever you do with, I don't know. Anyway, the garden guys, they're amazing in that. They always ask me about, I actually buy my plants from them. So I have this humongous, I forget what it's called, this big plant that I bought that's inside my house. And it was so funny because I like repotted it. And they said to me, oh, you actually repotted that thing. Huh. And it's still alive. I was like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. But anyway, it's growing well now.
You know why, though?
It lost three quarters of its... I was like, oh, I think it's
dying. You know why it stayed alive? It's because you didn't know any better. If you would have known better and done that, it would have died right away.
I probably would have. I don't know. Now it's starting to finally flourish, but it took a good 8 months. I mean, it lost almost all its leaves, and yeah, I didn't think it was going to make it. And then all of a sudden, little sprouts came up, and it's all happy again. So, you know, sometimes you just got to...
Patient pays off, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just kept watching it like, I'll water it again. I'm going to water the stick. It's sticking up.
It's not dead yet.
It's not dead yet. It's got a little green on it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we know a lot more about cars than we know about plants. That's what I'm trying to say here. So that's why this is Auto Talk and that's Garden Talk. But those guys are amazing at the garden thing, that's for sure. They were very helpful. So all good stuff. If you need plants, go see them. They got the best plants ever. So actually, they have a lot of cool plants. I bought a lot of plants from there. All the plants in my yard also there from there that my gardener wanted. So all good stuff. Anyway, this morning we are talking about almost anything automotive related you want to talk about here on Auto Talk Radio. You can give us a call at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're happy to discuss anything automotive related with you that you want to discuss. We're here to talk about it. Right, Kevin?
Yes.
Anything cool at the shop this week?
About the same.
How's I saw you were reprogramming keys on a Cadillac.
Yeah,
I noticed that Cadillac because, man, it looked like it had some expensive tires on it. They're like had a white wall with a yellow stripe around them.
Well, in 2008, that was a very expensive Cadillac. It was a CTS, and when they first brought it to us, both the keys, because obviously you have. It's a keyless entry.
They're all broken, though, weren't they?
Well, the actual key part that slides into the key fobs wasn't, but one of them was bent a little bit, and I couldn't get it to turn the lock cylinder because after you clear all the ones out, you need to be able to turn the lock cylinder like five times to override everything.
Clear everything out.
It's part of the process. Well, the one key wouldn't work, then we had to get the other key, and then...
Did that one work?
Yes.
Oh.
So
one of them's no good.
Yes. Matter of fact, when we got the new key fobs, it wouldn't slide down into the key fob even.
Because it was bent.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. Well, those are expensive keys, too, because they're like the bottom part of the key fob. I mean,
that's the thing, too. Like a 2008 CTS Cadillac, it's kind of like an older, 650 BMW.
Yeah.
Just because it's older doesn't make the parts cheaper on it.
Oh, absolutely not.
they're still going to, it's still going to be a pricey car to fix. It's still going to be, you know what I'm saying?
Did we program two keys for that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I saw the other two laying on the counter in the service writer office, and I was like, oh, those things look beat, like that tape on them and everything else.
Yeah, that was the original two. Then we put another two into it.
Oh.
It's kind of weird, too, because they have like these little pockets in the armrest that you have to... when you go to do it, you have to pull the key out, shove it down into that little pocket.
Really?
Yeah, and then it'll read the thing. So it's a process to do it. Yeah.
Always something new.
Yes.
Always something new. So all good. Well, hey, this morning we're talking about vehicle recalls and technical service bulletins, good stuff. Obviously, if you've been anywhere, you know that we've had a ton of recalls in the past 10, 15 years. Everybody almost, you'd have to be like a ostrich with your head in the sand not to be aware of airbag recalls that we went through, the problems with those and all that. And they're still dealing with some airbag recalls. On top of that, some of those that didn't get replaced yet, but also there were some replacement ones that were a problem. I saw another bulletin that came out and said if you had your airbag replaced during this recall, during this time, and it was for the 2005 Ford Ranger we have for the shop, it said if you had it replaced during this period, those are no good. Now you got to come back and get another one.
That's what they do all the time.
I know. It was such a problem. It's such a problem.
The weird thing about TPS, especially when they do TPSs and they do like software upgrades and stuff, sometimes that stuff's not covered under warranty either. You're
talking about technical service bulletins?
Yes. Yeah, TSBs. Like when they do like software updates, you can have like a 100,000-mile warranty, but it normally just powertrain. Anything like that where there are software upgrades and all that stuff, because I swear they upgrade them things once a week.
And sometimes they do. And technical service bulletins, you're right. A lot of those have nothing to do with warranty, and they're not covered under a recall or anything like that, for sure. Let's grab Chuck real quick in El Cajon. Good morning, Chuck.
Hi, Brian. I called you last week. I bought a car off from Enterprise, and it had a squeaky brake problem.
Yes, sir.
Enterprise, they agreed to fix the problem
get
the brakes.
Nice.
Yeah. I took it to the place, and it's actually the place where we get our maintenance done for the cars that we're renting out.
Mm-hmm.
They say they replaced the rear rotors and pads.
Okay.
But I get in it and I back up, and it's exactly the same problem.
Oh.
And I asked the guy. It's still squeaking. He said, "Oh, it takes about 500 to 1,000 miles to break them in." Now
that doesn't sound right to me either. Is it so? Did you pick up? Have you been driving the car?
Yeah, I drove. Well, I just got it back yesterday.
Oh, you did. Okay,
and
so
they said they were waiting. Took it in on Thursday. Said they were waiting for Nissan to give them the parts. So okay, I waited Friday and I picked it up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's still squeaking when I back up. It's the same thing. So I'm almost thinking they didn't even replace them.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Didn't even
it?
Give me a receipt either. I thought at the time because Enterprise were paying for it, but I didn't get a receipt. He just gave me the key, and I drove off. So I'm going to go back there today. I see the guy all the time.
Yeah, I'd go back and ask him, hey, this thing's doing the exact same thing I brought it in for. Are you sure that you guys did, you know, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
There is no breaking in of brakes once they're brand new.
No. Brakes should not make noise when you put them on a car.
Yeah, things are a lot different than they were back in the olden days. Things don't need to be broken like they used to.
Yeah, no. There's no, yeah, no. So that whatever, yeah, they need to take another look at that. That makes no sense at all.
Right. All right. Well, I didn't think so. I wanted to confirm that with you, but yeah. That's just bizarre.
Well, let us know what you find out, all right, once you get this straightened out. I'm curious now, again.
Yeah, I am too. I will. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chuck. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, brakes don't need to be broken.
No, you know what? Motors, I mean, even engines and stuff. I mean, it's good to take it easy on it for a little bit, but the rings, you know, the Moly rings they're using and the metals they use today, they don't have to, you know, you don't get that seat in like you used to have to get in.
No, the only thing that I recommend, like on an engine, is like, once you put it in, the first you need to just check the oil regularly, because a motor breaking in might burn a little bit of oil as the rings start to seat in. Yeah,
not with anything like that where you put all new bushings and bearings and stuff like that in it. It's good to take it easy on it for a couple hundred miles, because everything, you know, the bearing is getting
seating in.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a good idea to go right out the door and just hammer it, but.
Do it with things NASCAR like, engines and everything else, though.
Things like brakes and stuff. It used to be where you wanted to, they'd say to put it, you know, an easy, but they make brake material out of such different compounds anymore. We don't have to go through that process anymore. I mean, pretty much right out the gate, you're good with the way the rotors are made and this and this and this. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, one of those things, you know, just not a bad idea, but brakes, no, they should, and especially not make the same exact noise. So that's a problem.
No, he's probably got something else going on there and they missed it or whatever.
Or they didn't put brakes on it. I mean, it's possible. It's a place that services those cars for Enterprise. That's what they do. So, I mean, it's not, there's no receipt, he said. There's no, so like, who knows what or how.
I'm assuming, though, that their Enterprise one is like the other ones where they sell their used cars. They have an actual facility that they, you know, 30 days, and then it goes under a different warranty, and then you take it somewhere else kind of deal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of like, yeah. We do
would
a lot of
that repair go on a Carfax kind of thing, or no, not really?
Depends on if they report it or not to them. So it just depends on, yeah, how they, I don't know. Like, we report to Carfax, so all the repairs and service we do at all of our locations, it goes on the Carfax thing. If you pull a Carfax on somebody, it'll show all that stuff. Yeah, no, I don't know. Depends on what they are and who they, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who this repair facility is, but.
Well, I'm assuming it's Enterprise's repair facility.
That's what I'm assuming, too, because if it's not, and you're dealing with customers, you're required to give receipts no matter what per the Bureau of Automotive Repair.
Well, because I know, like, Hertz and all them, they have their own repair facilities. So
yeah, for their car sales
thing. I'm assuming Enterprise does, too.
I'm sure they do. But I just don't know who or where it is or what it is, and I definitely don't know if they report to
Carfax
or not. I don't know that. They should. That'd be great. Just one of those things, you know. It's hard to say. But, yeah, why would it? Yeah, I don't know. So, and it could be something else making a noise, but it's only when it backs up and he's braking. And so I presume it's related. But whoever looked at the car didn't catch whatever it was. That's for sure. So one of those things for sure. So 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. So, yeah, technical service bulletins and recalls. We know kind of what recalls are. Recalls are when a vehicle manufacturer, there's usually two types of recalls. They're either safety-related or most of them are safety-related when it comes down to it. And those are all covered underneath warranty, as far as that one is, you want to say. Even, but it's not really a warranty. It's no cost to you. Any safety recalls are definitely no cost to consumers. Manufacturers often voluntarily initiate many recalls because they want to make sure they're not an issue. They don't want the NHTSA requiring them. So the other recalls that are, if it's not safety, the only other one are like EPA recalls when it comes to catalytic converters and emissions and that kind of stuff. Those are the other kind of recalls that cover things. And when you say safety, I mean, like, you can get a recall for a Toyota had window switches because they'd catch on fire. So that's a recall. That's a safety thing. We don't want people in cars that are catching on fire.
Well, I was thinking about the last big one. Remember when their throttles were sticking on them, Toyota?
That's a safety recall. Yeah, that's a safety recall. So that's why they do them. Most of them are safety related without question. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break real quick. Here at Auto Talk Radio on 1170 AM and K-Praise, and we'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. We appreciate you joining us this morning. I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STARF certified. Taking care of folks in North County up there for heading up to 28 years now. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved and SMOG certified. Taking care of folks out there for heading up to 8 years now in the East County. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in central San Diego, right over there on Balboa in 163 area. Taking care of folks over there for 4 years. And, West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, Miramar Road and Eastgate Mall, AAA approved and STAR certified for smog. Taking care of folks over there for 2 years coming next month. So, all of us at the West Automotive Group, my employees, myself, and everybody come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason, and that is we believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle service repair and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. We're here to take care of your like family. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. Ask any of our managers or service consultants that work with us, and they'll be happy to get you set up on that. It's a good way to go. 6 months, no interest on any repairs that you put on the card, and you can reuse it over and over again. You can also take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. If you think you have a transmission problem, get in your vehicle in, get it diagnosed by us, find out what we have going on. There's all too many vehicles we see that have been told they need transmissions or repairs or whatever, and it ends up being something else automotive related on the vehicle, not actually a transmission. So we'd hate to see you get a repair you don't need. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home continuously all day, and also low-cost rental vehicles at all four locations. Here to help you out. Go to westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Once again, it's westautomotivegroup.com. You can also see all about us, make appointments, see what we do, all those kind of great things. Best place to find out all about us is westautomotivegroup.com. You can go click on from there the Auto Man segments, where I'm the Auto Man on the CW and Fox 5 News on Wednesdays and Fridays, morning news and Friday evening news on the CW, and check it all out from there. Or you can click on Auto Talk Radio, and it'll take you to where all of our Auto Talk Radio shows are put on there. You can listen to them from there or download them or do whatever you like. And also see about Auto Talk Radio, or you can also go and plug in an Answer 1170 San Diego into any of the podcast areas where they're available at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart, Radio.com, and TuneIn. They all carry the Auto Talk Radio podcast, so you can go check them out from there. You can also email us anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. But give us a call this morning, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. We're going to real quick grab Libby in National City. Good morning, Libby.
Hi. Great. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. How are you doing this morning?
Fine. Okay, here's the question. I have a friend who accidentally put about a half of cup of oil in his radiator, intending, of course, to put it in the proper place. Then he caught himself.
Uh-oh.
He stopped, and then, then he just got the water and started putting the water in. And now he's wondering if maybe he ruined, or is going to cause a problem later on with that oil that did get in the radiator.
Is it still in there?
Yes.
All right. How long has it been in there? When did this happen?
About 4 days.
Okay. He needs to get the cooling system flushed out really well. Here's what's going to happen. That oil will start to attack all the rubber hoses, such as the radiator hose, and they'll start to swell and fail. Oil does not mix with the rubber in the cooling system. So although it's a small amount, should be okay if he gets it flushed out and checked out, and they can double check everything. But yes, you want to get the cooling system needs to be flushed out really well, and new coolant put in it. So
Okay.
That will hopefully prevent anything else from. It won't really affect anything else in the system, but the rubber hoses, yes, severely.
Now, is that something that he himself would notice if the hoses were damaged or become damaged?
Well, right away in the beginning, you won't notice because it starts to happen from the inside. Is what happens. Yeah. So. But you want to check to see, are any of them swelling? In 4 days, they're probably not going to be swelling or showing any signs of failure at this point.
Okay.
My suggestion is as soon as possible, get the cooling system flushed properly and to prevent any further issues as far as that goes. That's what I would suggest.
Okay. And then when the proper coolant is put in, then it will supersede the oil, any remnant of the oil.
It should, And when I say flushed, I don't mean drained. He actually needs to have it flushed with a cleaner that we use in the cooling system. It'll help clean all that stuff out. And since it's only been 4 days, should be okay. Yeah.
Oh, you mean he has to go and buy something that is special for flushing?
I would take it in and have somebody, like we use the BG system where we hook a flusher to it and it cleans the cooling system. We run cleaner through it. That's what I would do. You really want to get the remnants of the oil out of there as best you can, because over time, telling you, it will destroy those hoses.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Get it done professionally.
It'll save him a lot of money in the long run. And obviously, you don't want a hose failing. A car can overheat rather quickly and cause extensional damage to the motor if one does fail while driving.
Dear.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
No problem at all. Anytime.
All right. Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You
too. So, great question when it comes to that. We often do see system. The other system that we often see where people put or contaminate on accident is the brake fluid reservoir, putting oil in it. That quickly causes a big problem. We've seen a couple of those, huh?
We've also seen the brake fluid where they went to an oil change place and they put window washing fluid in it.
That causes problems too.
Yeah. Yep. The brake system does not like... the window washing fluid.
Brake fluid system doesn't like anything but the mineral-based brake fluid that's supposed to be in it. That's correct. And the rubber components do funny things for sure.
This is another funny thing. Rubber, like the rubber radiator hoses, they're meant for water and antifreeze.
Cool, yeah.
They make all these different kind of rubbers. Like, I mean, there is rubber hoses for transmission fluid. There's rubber hoses.
They're made for oils, yeah.
Yes, they're made for oils and they don't
petroleum-based.
Swell.
Petroleum-based, yeah.
So, it is... It is, because even if oil is leaking out of like a valve cover and dripping on a radiator hose, it'll make it swell and get all fat. And
it gets spongy. It starts to fail. It's deteriorating is what it's doing, yes.
Yeah, it's being chemically changed. So
So they do start to fail. And when that happens, then they start to blow out too. Not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. Yeah, you don't want that. So this morning we're talking. So usually technical service bulletins are used by technicians when diagnosing and repairing a vehicle. They typically have nothing to do with recalls or warranty or any of that. It's just things that engineers for manufacturers have seen, and they turn into bulletins like, hey, if you see this is going on, here's a bulletin for it. This is how we've repaired it or changed it, or there's an updated component for it or whatever it may be.
Well, there's something weird to it too. Normally, I mean, like, they'll have you replace the solenoid. If you take the solenoid off, it's opening and closing. It's got the right ohms. It's got this. Everything in there is perfect compared, to your testing. But there's something else weird going on there that they put out a TSB to say, it's going to test fine, but you still need to replace it. And then it fixes the problem.
Well, sometimes they test bad too. If you see this problem with this solenoid, replace the solenoid and replace this, because that's a problem, could be a solenoid, could be a powertrain control module update replacement also along with the solenoid, because they know that there's been issues, whatever it may be. I mean, and there's a lot of different things. There's technical service bulletins when it comes to brake noises, or when it comes to a drive shaft noise, like the inner tube comes loose on the drive shaft. The drive shaft needs to be replaced if you get this vibration or noise or whatever. I mean, we can go on and on. I mean, there's a million of them, right?
Yes.
They're not all just electronic. So there's a lot of different things for sure. All right, let's grab Steve real quick in San Diego. Good morning, Steve.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
I could be better.
Uh-oh. What you got going on?
Okay, my beloved 2015 Chevy Cruze that I only has 53,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get this strange letter that is talking about lemon law.
Okay.
And I go out and I drive the car and come back on in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a puddle of coolant on the ground.
Okay.
And so one of the things they're talking about is engine leaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I look under the car. It looks like it's coming out of the block.
Okay.
Now, they are notorious for having a plastic thermostat housing that
is, fails.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And they also said that the water pump fails. So.
Okay.
Anyway, all of that is on this letter. In addition, there's an electronic rack and pinion.
So is this like a class action lemon law thing that somebody's got going? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but anyway, my question is, does that water typically migrate to the underside of the engine from the water pump?
Absolutely. It can trail almost anywhere. How big of a puddle are we talking about?
Okay, it only does it when it's hot.
Uh-huh.
It's not like it, and the funny thing is, the water level is up, you know, right on up to the, you know,
to the full level
on the reservoir. So it's a small amount of.
It doesn't take much to make a puddle, you know, like that,
right.
A small puddle. You still want to obviously get it addressed. It's important to. We don't want any leaks. Obviously, you let leaks keep going and you can end up with a bigger problem as far as, you know, low on coolant, engine concerns, things like that. So I would definitely get it addressed. I wouldn't
right.
worry too much about the whole class action suit. I mean, there's a lot of Cruzes running around. What they're saying is these things have been problems for multiple people and they're probably going to try to get money for people. And you since you bought one new, you're probably included in that for you. So
well, I bought it a couple of years old.
Oh, did
actually.
You? But you still own it. Yeah.
Right. They still have. But that's not the thing I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. My bigger concern is, have you heard anything about the engine box cracking on these things and leaking coolant?
No, not it's not a common as far as I know. So I would say your coolant's probably coming from either the water pump or the housing there, and it's just basically leaking down, and it just looks like that. That's why we usually get them in, pressure test to find exactly where they're leaking from. So it can look like it's coming from places that it's not.
Well, that's a relief.
Yep. So I do not see, we are not seeing a bunch of Cruzes with cracked engine blocks, that's for sure. It's not a common
thing.
Thank
you.
Okay?
All right, I'll get it in there and...
All right, get her in. Let's find out. Keep us appraised. We'll go from there.
All right.
All right. Have a wonderful, safe weekend, Steve. Take care.
Hey, you too.
Okay, thank you. Bye. All right, folks, give us a call here, 888-344-1170. This is 888-344-1170. We're going to take our last break here at Auto Talk Radio, and you're listening to on K-Praise and The Answer San Diego. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bowersock. He's over there taking a nap.
I wish.
I wish. Nah, talking on the radio is way more fun. Anyway.
It is, but sometimes this early in the morning.
It is early in the morning, that's for sure. Could be earlier, though. I mean, it's... 25 to 8.
This early in the morning, it's nice being the listener.
the listener with some coffee.
Yes.
There you go. Just sitting there on the porch watching the sun come up.
Exactly.
Nice. All right, folks. Do also want to remind you the show is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other brand of battery for one simple reason. They are the technician's choice worldwide. If you need a battery for your vehicle, hop on to westautomotivegroup.com and make an appointment to get in. We'll get you an Interstate installed. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at their storefronts at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, battery for every need. Highest quality batteries out there. No question about it. We have them in everything. I have them in all my motorcycles, cars, etc. So, important stuff. Important stuff. So we're talking about, give us a call. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. But we are talking about technical service bulletins and recalls. So basically, as I was saying, there are two types of motor vehicle recalls, mandatory and voluntary. Mandatory recall calls are mandated by either the National Highway Safety Administration, NHTSA, or the Environmental Protection Agency. That's where emission recalls come in. Those are the two recalls you see. One's safety, one's emissions. In other words, then they're mandated. The manufacturer is forced by one of these governing agencies to recall the affected vehicles to remedy a defect. One of the biggest ones everybody is the airbag. That recall was mandated by the National Highway Traffic NHTSA because of concerns with it. Also, the Ford recall, remember where they started recalling on the tires. Remember the Explorers that would flip over? They'd blow a tire and flip over? Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, so. The Firestone thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Firestone. They're thrown underneath the bus. But their tires had an issue. So
everybody's had an issue.
But I thought that's for fairly high miles. A lot of vehicles had already replaced them. Normally people don't always use the same tires on the car. So anyway, but there were a problem with certain things. So, but, those are mandated, as far as, required to do, replace them, et cetera. And then a voluntary recall, is when a manufacturer recalls a vehicle for a defect, not necessarily related to safety. So, but we don't see a whole ton of those as far as that goes. Most things are, I don't know. So like the fire thing, I would call that safety. Like a switch catches or melts down could cause a car to catch on fire, although it's not going to cause a car to crash, but you could harm a person. And here's where it kind of gets cut, because some manufacturers find out a safety issue that turns into a mandated, but they start the recall process themselves. So they still call that a mandated. So mostly voluntary recalls are not safety related. Didn't GM do a recall on some of the paints on their cars? Like at one time, if your paint started to peel,
I think everybody did it for a while because... You know what? Almost everybody buys from the same companies, either DuPont, PPG.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
There's only like a handful of paint manufacturers out there, really.
Correct. But what I'm saying is that would be a non-mandate. That wasn't a safety issue. So if they did a recall and covered something like that on a vehicle, then that would be a great example of a non-safety recall because there wasn't big chunks of paint flying off, sticking on other people's windshields or nothing.
And you
like
may
that.
Not get a letter for it, so you may not even know.
Correct, because it's not mandated and it has nothing to do with safety. But the vehicle shows up and you go in and complain and they say, oh yeah, we're covering that. We have a little recall going on that. The manufacturer said it's okay to repaint your vehicle, which they did on some of those cars.
You were right, by the way. It's 2014 through 2019 Chevy Silverados that got recalled for paint issues.
And there was ones earlier than that, too. There's probably been a lot of paint recalls.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like,
But that's a great example of a non-mandated, that is not government mandated. And the reason why is it's not safety. So mandated ones are always safety or EPA. Those are the two. Like there's been recalls on some catalytic converters because they'd fail early. And that's an EPA recall.
Now, the smog stuff's like 7 or 8 years, right? Warranty.
In California, 8 years, 80,000 miles, I think it is right now. Yeah. Now, and keep in mind, these things change all the time. So, yeah. I mean, it's hard to keep up with some of it. I have to look it up, usually per vehicle or whatever. But smog-related components right now are 880, I believe, is where they are. Let's real quick grab Bodie. Good morning, Bodie.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you? Bodie, where are you at this morning? You in San Diego?
Yes, sir.
Oh, because it says Bodie in Ohio. I was like, what's Bodie doing?
Sorry,
what's Bodie doing in Ohio? I was like, you on a road trip, Brody? What are we doing?
I'm looking for your dad.
Oh, he's in Ohio. Yeah, I talked to him this morning.
Well, the old joke is, what's round down the ends and high in the middle?
Ohio.
Ohio.
Oh, I've heard that joke. Oh, I know. I born and raised there. I've heard them all. Trust me. What you got going on this morning, Bodie?
Acura 1997 2.2 CL 4-cylinder.
Yes, sir.
Automatic.
Yes, sir.
What would be the three main things that would affect my gas mileage? I'm a very conscientious driver. I warm up the car in the morning, you know, a couple minutes, and I drive reasonable. I generally drive in the right-hand lane on a freeway, you know, doing 55, 60, so I'm not out there stomping it around. I accelerate and brake easy. So
when you say affect your gas mileage, how affected?
Well, I was getting about 25, 26 miles per gallon.
Uh-huh.
And then it started creeping down a little bit, and then it kind of went up, and then it's saying the last 8, 9 months, it's down to about 20.
Oh, that's down a bit. Well, one thing can be the fuel mixture, that how they're mixing the fuels, depending on, and as the seasons change, they have winter and summer fuels here in California.
Right.
So, and that will definitely affect mileage. The other thing can be buildup of carbon inside the motor, will rob a vehicle a fuel mileage often, such as the, you know, we get some carbon buildup on the valves, piston heads, things like that. When's the last time you did an induction service on that bad boy?
Probably about a year and a quarter ago, maybe a year and a half.
How many miles?
Total on the car, about 180.
No, how many miles since the induction service?
Oh, that's a good question. I was drifting off to sleep the other day, and my guess is it probably needs that good, what they call it, the fuel service?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuel, fuel intake.
Yeah, intake cleaning and all that. That can cause it. So, as far as there goes, you know, in mileage, as we start to get up there, we often see fuel. I mean, the engine, combustion process, even 180,000 miles, you start to get up there, can change the whole process just a little bit. Things wear. So, but you're down about 5 miles to a gallon. That's a bit. That's a bit. Yeah. Usually we see it go a couple here, a couple there, you know, over time.
Right.
So fuel, induction, you know, making sure that when's the last time it's 180. So are you about due for spark plugs again on that car?
I put them on about 8 months ago.
Okay. Well, then you don't have to worry about that. Just some things I'm thinking about that do wear, you know, that can, as far as the combustion and burning process, that can cause a little bit of a loss of miles per gallon, because I'm sure you're not having any misfires, anything like that, right?
No. The car runs smooth.
Yeah.
What do you in terms of fuel? Without mentioning names, am I better sticking up with a high tier fuel?
Well,
or going to a.
Okay, that's a great question. So, like, I tend to use higher tier fuels for a simple reason. It has nothing to do with the gas. Gasoline, when it comes, I think you've been in on this conversation before. It comes from the places that they mix the fuel. All of it starts out pretty much the same. The difference is the additives per person, like, and let's just say like Chevron or Shell, or the additives they require to be put into their fuel. That is the difference when it comes to the actual quality and reduction. So yeah, I'm a big fan of a lot of that, like Tecron, and that helps keep the carbon levels down all the time, kind of cleaning your engine. Shell's got the same kind of thing. Their mixture, what they use, they have a different name for their stuff. But it does make a difference. There's no question.
One more question, please. I noticed that I was at Pep Boys the other day, and they do sell about, it's like an 8-ounce container of Tecron.
Uh-huh.
And it's like $12-15. Is that worth putting extra in there or just leave it alone?
If you don't buy fuel with those kind of ads, so if you don't go to the top tier fuel stations, then I guess right. it would be worthwhile to add it in. I don't think you need to add it if you're using really good fuel, though. Does that make sense?
Right.
It's already mixed in, and they got a pretty good mixture of it for sure. So, and just keep in mind these days, obviously, if you got fuel that sits a lot, in other words, you fill up a tank of a car and you don't drive it for a year, you know, or whatever, fuel just breaks down terribly these days.
I don't even think it'll last a year.
No, it won't last a year.
It gets gummy.
it's junk. It's a big problem we have, and I own several motorcycles, and any of them that are carbureted, you better be draining the. If you're not going to ride that thing for 2 months, you better drain the fuel bowl, because the needle and seats just stick, like you said, gummy, and cause a disaster. So fuel is junk.
I've got a friend of mine who's got a little Triumph I detail, and I told him there's a product called Fast Gas.
Uh-huh.
So if your car's sitting or motorcycle's sitting, you put that in the fuel, run it for a while, and that supposedly keeps the gumminess from damaging anything inside.
Yeah, so that's a fuel stabilizer, basically, is what it is. And
right.
Yeah, so definitely it can be helpful. But like I said, carbureted ones, no matter what, though, always just definitely drain the fuel bowls to keep them from sticking. It's just not a good thing, you know. So,
right. Okay, gentlemen, stay safe and well.
You do the same, Bodie. Always good to talk to you. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Ciao. Thanks again.
Take care. Bye. So, great question.
Hey, one thing we didn't list, because he said he got 180,000 miles on that car.
Uh-huh.
The O2 sensors could be getting a little bit slow at this point, too.
The fuel control on it. Yeah, and it won't pop a check engine light or nothing.
And if you're going to replace... Because what did it used to be that... They used to say that you should replace the O2 sensors per so many miles or whatever.
Well, all I know, if your O2s have a rise time and you have to do a rise time test of under 100 milliseconds, they're working pretty good. If they're anything over 100 milliseconds, it's bad. So, but they can still get lazy. I mean, a new O2 sensor moves fast. So,
and especially with an O2 sensor, my suggestion is to use an OEM O2 sensor.
Because I've had
a lot of problems with the aftermarket ones. Just saying. So,
well, yeah. So you know, like a lot of times, what we'll use is like Denso's, but that's what the car came with.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What we use.
You
don't have to go buy them from the manufacturer necessarily.
If you can get them from if you can get the same ones, you can buy NGK spark plugs or AC Delco spark plugs from an aftermarket. If you can buy them like that, then
it's the same plug.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point. Most manufacturers don't make oxygen sensors. So, like, Ford will use Denso. They get Denso to make them for them. So, that's what we do a lot is almost always. We don't use generic ones.
That's what I'm saying. Don't buy a cheap one.
If Bosches were made for your car, that's the manufacturer made them for them, then you put one of those in. So, back in the day, we used to put some of those aftermarket Bosches in, and they didn't work right, and they'd cause more problems.
But do you remember when Bosch first, because Bosch was probably one of the first.
They probably made the first oxygen sensor.
Well, they also, let's face Type 3s were the first fuel-injected kind of cars anyways, but do you remember their spark plugs? I mean, they made a really decent spark plug, mm-hmm. but people were trying to put those in American cars, and the cars just didn't run that well, because it's not designed. When the engineer built the car, he designed it for a certain kind of spark plug.
Everything is designed for a specific thing. Yeah, especially now, even more these days. So, good point. Yeah, no, if your car came with AC, and we've had this show before, you know, I like Motorcraft plugs in Fords. I like AC Delco plugs in GM cars that came with it. But now manufacturers are crossing up. Some of them are using like NGKs in American cars. So then we put that, whatever came the car was engineered for and what it came
with. Put it back in there.
We put it back in there. It's the best way to go. Keeps the car in good running order for sure. No question about it. So good point there. Great point as far as that goes. All right, let's grab a mic real quick. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, you're in Ohio.
Yeah.
Brendan messed up. He said Bodie was in Ohio, and I was like, what's Bodie doing in Ohio? What's happening?
It's starting to warm up here now. It's nice.
Yeah, I had a Grand Caravan put a thermostat in a little about a week ago or so, and it's 3.6. Uh-huh. And so I think it's 17, I think 18 maybe, in Grand Caravan, 3.6.
Uh-huh.
And now the temperature is fluctuating back and forth. Now, I've seen some forums saying that's normal because it's not exact, but he's noticed that ever since he's had the vehicle, so it's not something that I don't think I did. But
uh-huh.
I'm curious if you guys have run across that at all.
Fluctuating how much? I mean, are we talking a wide sweep, or are we just talking like a little?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's noticing, yeah. Huh. So, but he said, like you say, it's always been that way. So I don't know if there's a common problem with Chrysler's doing that for the 3.6 or not. And also an oil cooler situation. I cannot find one to save my life. And if you guys have any kind of connections on those, because I know they go bad. It's leaking oil pretty bad.
On the same on the Caravan?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the oil cooler, the oil filter adapter deal.
Oh, is it a little square one, like?
Yeah, rectangular-like.
Is it leaking oil or leaking coolant?
Yeah.
Oil.
Leaking oil, yeah.
And Chrysler discontinued it?
Well, they're on back order, apparently, national back order for 2-3 weeks, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, you know what? Chrysler, like, anymore, like, after 5 years, they like, poof, there you go, no more.
Well, not only that, but let's be honest, since this whole COVID thing, there's been a ton of stuff on back order here and there as far as it goes.
Yeah.
I had one guy that we had to put a powertrain control module in, or a TCM in his Jeep, and it was like last May, and it took a month to get it. He was so mad, and I'm all, hey, don't be mad at me. I'm not controlling this problem, you know, but we're seeing a lot of this. It's gotten better, obviously, but we went through quite a period that, man, everything you ordered was on back order, you know. It's like they depleted the supply. So I don't know of anything aftermarket available for that as far as the oil cooler. It's probably something you're going to have to wait on. Just one of those things.
Yeah.
As far as the fluctuation, is that something you've seen regularly on those, a coolant temp fluctuation, Kevin? I'm unaware of that whatsoever.
Yeah. I've seen some on the there's some forums out there saying, don't worry about it. It's something that's inherent to other people say, throw another thermostat. Maybe it's a defective thermostat.
Where is the thermostat a factory thermostat, or is it aftermarket?
It is an aftermarket. It is an aftermarket. But like I say, this has been prior to me even doing this thermostat job. So, I mean, it's always kind of been there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just an inherited problem, or
it's probably not caused.
Looking at it too hard, or what?
Yeah, it's probably not caused by the thermostat you replaced. OEM thermostats, but
it's probably not. You know, there's some, especially like 2017 and newer too. I've been working on that Escape. It's 2017. It's owned by a fleet company. The problem is some of these cars got a little bit of problems, and. Like, I'm getting a lean code, like a generic lean code out of it every once in a while, and you watch the fuel trims. Fuel trims are perfect on it. But, and you know what? It's like, sometimes you can get on them, you know, you can get on some of the websites where all the technicians are on talking, and you know what? Right. There's bird chirping on that one because nobody really is working on these cars yet. So, even like a 2017 Caravan with a fluctuation problem like that, it's one of those things you're going to have to try and, you know what I mean? Unless you can find a TSB or something.
You can soften up the parameters, maybe. I don't know.
That's the only thing. You're going to have to look and see what the actual problem is, though. I mean, is it, you know, watch it on the scanner and see what it's doing.
If it's been enough of a problem, there'll be a technical service bulletin on it. No question about it. So now, 3 years, 4 years on under its belt, if the manufacturers were seeing it at the dealer a lot, then the Chrysler would have done a technical service bulletin on it.
But there's some cars that come off the line. There's some cars that come off the line like that, and they don't start having problems till 2 or 3 years later because of the wiring gets a resistance in it from driving around the snow blah, blah, blah. So
yeah, it's hard to say. When you talk about my number one would make sure that the engine definitely is not. I mean, if it is thermostat related and it's actually doing that, you should be able to temp check it and see it, you know, swinging that much. If it's not, if the steady on the motor, then we either have a sensor, wiring, or gauge problem, obviously. It has nothing to do with that temperature of the motor. So that's what I would check.
I'll dig into it a little bit further. Yeah, it was one of the staff members here, and I just thought, throw a thermostat. It did have an 0128 code, so obviously that was a thermostat, so we threw one in.
There you go.
But,
Well, that'll cure the code, I'm sure. But unless it's taking its information off of the same temp signal, in that case, obviously it'd be a problem.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how the gauge is driven. Is it driven by the PCM, or is it actually a sensor that's on that direct feed? So one of those things. Yep.
I have to look into it a little further. All right. Hey, I'll let you guys go. I appreciate it.
Hey, Mike, good talking to you. Have a safe weekend.
Hey, you got it. Hey, you too. Take care, man.
Take care, brother. Later.
Yep.
Good stuff. All right, folks. We're going to have to. Did you say 2 minutes? Really? This clock says 5 till. Heads up.
I'm telling you, we're not the most techie radio station, but, you know, we get the job done in the end.
Well, we're very techie people, so I'm upset right now. Thanks, Brendan. And anyway, all right, folks. Hey, we appreciate you joining us this morning. I don't know where we're at, or if we have 1 minute or 30 seconds left or whatever. Is it 1 minute now? Now?
Yes,
right now?
Yes,
right now? Now? Now?
Now it's the 1 minute warning. Yeah.
Oh, he's doing the 1 minute warning on us right now. Anything you got to add, Kevin, before we call it a day?
No, just have a beautiful weekend.
You got it.
Enjoy.
We appreciate everybody joining us here on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise for Auto Talk Radio every Saturday morning. We get up and come in here early to do this because we enjoy doing it. And we enjoy all of you calling in and adding to the show and being part of it. Just good fun stuff. So we want everybody out there, wherever you're at, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up for sure. And be safe out there and have a great weekend. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, San Diego, and I know the rest of the, a lot of the country, Midwest and all is warming up finally. We're in spring, as Pop said. I think I told him the other day, I think you're headed to spring. He's all, that was 4 days ago. So he always knows these strange things that I don't keep track of. San Diego and everybody out there, be safe. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise. Till next Saturday, we'll see you then.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.